you this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm going to ask you at this time, we're going to get our study from the book of Jude. So Jude having only one chapter, I would encourage you to turn to the book of Jude at this time. The book of Jude. Glad you're here. I hope and pray the things we say today will be beneficial to each one of us as we feed upon God's word. The book of Jude. All right, you should be in the book of Jude, one chapter, just before Revelation. And we're going to look at this morning, specifically verse 21, but we're going to read verses 20 and 21. In Jude, verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Actually, when you look at the book of Jude, there's a number of lessons. In the beginning of Jude, they were to contend for the faith. And we find out why, because there were false teachers trying to lead them astray. But for this morning's lesson, we're not going to do the whole book of Jude. We're going to take that last little phrase, keep yourselves in the love of God. Think about that for a moment. Keep yourselves in the love of God. When you see that phrase, and again, when I ask questions, just answer them in your head. Well, when you see that phrase, what comes to your mind? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, right away, I see personal responsibility. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we talk about keeping yourselves in the love of God, let's begin with this point. God's love is extended to all of mankind. I think we would agree to that. And by the way, if you don't agree with that, I'm going to give you some passages why you should agree with that. So let's look at this first part before we focus specifically on us keeping ourselves in the love of God. When we see God's love extended to all, of course, we're familiar with the first passage that comes to our mind, and that is, let's go to John chapter 3. I never become sad that I have to keep on going back to this passage because it's such a beautiful passage to mankind. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now here's where people run into problem with scriptures. That is a most beautiful passage. That's a good passage that most people have memorized, and rightfully so. Because without God's love for the world, we wouldn't be here today. I just wish they would memorize verse 17 also. Because in verse 17 it states, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through his Son, through him, might be saved." Now, the reason I've emphasized that, it's not saying all the world will be saved. Now, God wants all the world to be saved, but you see in verse 17, might be saved. In other words, it's going to be their responsibility to come to Jesus, whom God sent to be our propitiation. That's why I say when you read a passage, I wish they take the passages surrounding it to understand it. So yes, God's love is extended to the world. And the world here means all of mankind. No matter who you are, no matter what ethnic background you are, no matter where you are educationally, no matter where you are financially, God's love for mankind is extended to everybody. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Because now it expands this idea of God's love for mankind. And in Romans chapter 5, very simple passage we often read at the Lord's Supper. It tells us here, Romans 5, beginning in verse 6. "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Go to verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So very quickly in these verses, two things come to mind in these verses we just read. First of all, God's love was manifest to us when we didn't deserve God's love. We find that in this text, do we not? While we were still sinners. Second of all, we tie this with John 3. Reconciliation is going to be through Christ. That's how God showed his love to all mankind, and it's through Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next passage. And 1 Timothy chapter 2. Again, I know you understand that, but just in case some people don't, because I'm working on a lesson concerning Calvinism, and they have limited ones being saved. And of course, these passages would violate that, or at least their doctrine would violate these passages. And 1 Timothy chapter 2. See, so now you know what I do on my spare time. I study lessons ahead of myself. I'm working right now on 4 or 5 lessons. And the book of Timothy we have here, chapter 2, beginning verses 1 through 4. And therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Now here's what we want is verse 4. Notice in verse 4, who desires, now that goes back to verse 3, who's doing the desiring? That's God, right? If we go back to verse 3, take it with verse 4. Who desires that all men to be saved. So does God want all men to be saved? Absolutely. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. He wants you to be saved. And of course, that reconciliation is going to be through Christ. So I've just kind of a couple more passages and then we'll go on the lesson for you and I. As we go on, let's go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. By the way, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just kind of pointing out that God wants all of mankind to be saved. Jesus, the Son of God, died for everybody. God's love is extended to everybody. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, as he speaks to the Jew, remember the Gentiles, he showed the Gentiles need. Now he comes to the Jew, chapter 2 and 3. In chapter 2, verse 4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance, long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Notice his forbearance and long-suffering. You would agree with me, God is forbearing and long-suffering towards us. Otherwise, this world wouldn't be standing anymore. Now, why is he forbearing and long-suffering? That we come to repentance. Who's that? Well, specifically in the context, it's the Jews here, but it would be all of mankind, would it not? So God's love extended to everybody. I'm going to give you one more passage, then we're going to go into our lesson. Believe it or not, this is the introduction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So what we're having today, if you're looking and outlining what I'm giving you, today we basically have a one-point lesson. It's totally different than a lot of people because you're supposed to have 3 points and then close. Well, we have the introduction and then we'll get into the point in just a moment. But before we get to the point, I want to show us that God loves everybody. Everyone in this audience, everybody outside this audience, everybody in the world. God has extended his love to everybody. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, how? Through Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, oh, by the way, let's stop. Let's stop. Hold your horses. See that first verse? The first verse, the ministry of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. What was the first passage we started out with? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his son. You see how that ties together? Reconciliation is through Jesus Christ. As we go on, it says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Again, stop. Take you back. Think about it. We take Jesus Christ out of the picture. Is there any reconciliation? No. Who sent Jesus Christ? The Father. Who gave himself willingly? The Son. Again, this is God showing his love actively toward, and remember the word actively, actively toward all of mankind. All right, let's go back. All right, as in verse 19, that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors, this is Paul by inspiration speaking, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. Stop. How does God plead through us? Through the gospel. Remember Romans 1:16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For what? It is the power of whom? God. You see, it all goes back to God, does it not? We started with God in John 3:16. We see that one is reconciled through Christ, and we learn about that through the gospel. You see how that all comes back together? As we look at this verse in verse 20, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, think about this. God provided the sacrifice. Jesus provided his life. We have to obey. That's why on the day of Pentecost, let me ask you this, Acts chapter 2, we're not going to go back there. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the apostles began proclaiming the gospel, who was reconciled? Now, does God want everybody to be saved? We already touched on that, right? He wants everybody to be saved. He wanted all those Jews there to be saved. Did he not? But, again I ask, who was reconciled? Those who received the message and obeyed. Those who gladly received his word, Acts 2:40 and 41, and obeyed. That's who was reconciled. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying God is pleading through us, be reconciled. God's given the means for all of mankind to be reconciled. Now it's up to us to be reconciled by responding to that. You see how we tie that all together? And as we look at the next verse, as we look at verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All right. Now we laid down the foundation. Should be no question in any mind that God loves you and God loves me. But as we go back to Jude in verse 21, it's telling us there to keep yourself in the love of God. So in 21, we're not looking at what God has done for us, and without that, we wouldn't have a relationship with him. But now we have the responsibility turned to us. It is my responsibility to keep myself in love's God and God's love. Now, no doubt God loves us. Even if you ignore him, he still loves you. But are you keeping yourself in his love? Are you going to escape the wrath because of his love? And that's what the remainder of our lesson is going to be this morning. The idea of keeping ourselves in the love of God. I hope that's important to you. That's important to me. I want to keep myself in God's love. I want to be in a right relationship with God. And that's what this is talking about. So as we talk about Jude 21, keeping yourself in the love of God, what might that include? And I'm going to give you some Bible passages. I believe in keeping yourself in the love of God, we learn a lesson from Acts chapter 3. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 26, we have recorded, beginning in verse 22, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says. Okay, let's stop and just kind of think about verse 22. This is going back to the Old Testament now. He's going to raise up a prophet. Like Moses says, like unto me. And notice Moses doesn't say, hear me and him. You're to hear that prophet, right? That's what is being said there in verse 22. Verse 23, Acts 3. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Okay, little red light should be flashing at verse 23. I'm going to send a prophet. Going to be like unto me, Moses said. You better hear him. Because if you don't, you're going to be destroyed. Pretty simple, is it not? All right, let's go to 24. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold of, here, now we're getting close to it, foretold of these days. These days, first century. For you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all families of the earth shall be blessed. Remember Genesis chapter 12? This is the beauty. I want to stop here. I know I'm stopping a lot. You can't help but get excited when God's word explains itself. The trouble is people don't let God's word to explain itself. They allow others to explain it their way. Let God explain it his way. Now what we're focusing at here as we look at this text is this prophet that Moses is talking about. Can we know who this prophet is that he's speaking about? Yes, we can. Because it goes on to state in verse 25 and 26, for you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant of God which made with our father, saying to Abraham and to your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God having raised up his servant, who? Jesus. Okay, in the context, we started out in verse 22. God's going to raise up this prophet. Who's the prophet? Verse 26, Jesus, right? Jesus is that prophet. What happens if we ignore that prophet? In big trouble, aren't we? So I ask this question. And Jude 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God, does it require for me to submit to Jesus? The answer is pretty simple, is it not? Yes. I don't agree with it. Honestly, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I don't care what you agree with. I care what the Scriptures teach. And the Scriptures teach that the prophet that Moses was speaking about was Jesus. And if you want to keep yourself in the love of God, you've got to obey Jesus. Not just lip service. You've got to obey Jesus. You want to keep yourself in the love of God? Don't ignore his son. Let's go. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Here we have recorded for us in this chapter. Again, we're going to have the same answer all the way throughout. Verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Stop. I love Peter. He's over. I got to make 3 tabernacles. Of course, God corrects him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I'll amen that. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Look at verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What? Hear him. That's Jesus, right? You want to keep yourself in the love of God? Hear him. Who's the him? Jesus. And how do we hear Jesus? Through his word. You see, that my responsibility is to keep myself in the love of God, and I do that as I hear Jesus, His Son, who died for our sins. You see it all tying together here? Let's go on. And John chapter 14, keeping yourself in the love of God. We have recorded for us in verse 6, and Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Okay? Or except through me. What are we talking about? Keeping yourself in the love of God. How many ways can you get to God's love? Through Jesus. You don't get to the Father except by me. Right? So when we talk about keeping ourselves in the love of God, it's coming up quite clear, is it not? There's one answer. And one answer only. Jesus. Now, I want to take a step back here. Yeah, but how about the good man? Well, Cornelius was a good man. Who'd he need? He needed Jesus, didn't he? You may be a good man, but if you haven't been reconciled and if you're not listening to him, you're not keeping yourself in the love of God. Does God love you? Absolutely. No doubt that God loves you. But what are you doing with his love? You see, that's the question. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Someone say, well, you have no right to challenge my love of God. No, I don't. I sure don't. But does God? Does God? And what does God's word have to say? There's only one way to God, Jesus said, and that's what? Through me, through him. Kind of simple, is it not? So this question is becoming easier and easier as we go along in this lesson. All right, let's go to the next passage. And John chapter 14, 21 through 24. John 14, 21. Jesus speaking, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. Now look at what it says. And he who loves me will be loved by who? My Father. Okay, let's stop. What are we talking about? Keeping yourself in the love of God. Well, how is that going to happen? By keeping the commands of Jesus. That shows your love for him and thus God's love for you. Because God said, hear ye him. Because Moses said, hear that prophet. You have to be helped to misunderstand what this is teaching. It's so clear. But let's go on. As we go to verse 22, he said, let's finish 21. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus then said to him, if anyone loves me, he will, and I have this underlined, he will what? Keep my word. Oh yeah, you can verbally profess him, but if you're not keeping his word, you're not keeping yourself in the love of God. So again, that's my personal responsibility. I can show you that this is what we're supposed to do. It's up to you to do it. It's up to me to do it. God loves me? Yes. How do I keep myself in this love? Obey his son. And that's not a one-shot only deal. That's a continue. Very simple. He goes on to state, and my Father will love him, verse 23, and we, who's the we in 23? That's the Son and the Father, right? And we will come to him and make our home with him. So does that show we have fellowship with the Father? Yes. How? By keeping the words of the Son. All right, look at the next verse. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, oh, but the Father who sent me. What? Brethren, you don't need 14 commentaries to understand this. You just need to let the scriptures explain themselves. Keep yourself in the love of God. We got the point, don't we? We got a few more passages. We got the point, though. By doing what the word says in the New Testament, because that comes from Jesus. And Jesus is his son. And Jesus is that prophet that Moses spoke about. But let's go on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm glad you're here this morning. I hope you got get as much out of this as I did as I prepared this lesson. The more I prepared, the more excited I got. And think, Chuck, how simple this is. It really is simple. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Begin in verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us, how you ought to walk to please God. Okay, see verse 1? Now you see verse 1, you tie together with Jude 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So how are you going to please God, right? Let's go on. For you know what commandments we gave to you through... Oh, look at this in verse 2. Yeah. It ties together. We want to keep ourselves in the love of God. How is that happening? Through our Lord Jesus. You see that in verse 2? Right? All right, let's go on. For this is the will of God, for your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel and the sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit. We have a lot of sexual perverseness in our society today. I'm not going to go into detail on that. All you have to do is just go out into the world. But what this is saying, if you want to keep yourself in the love of God, it's through Jesus. And you don't do those things. You don't excuse yourself in those things. You do those things that are pleasing to Him. And that's why I say we have to be careful. We have to be careful because we're in... Oh, by the way, when we talk about the immorality today, let's quit patting ourselves on the back how bad it is today. It was equally, if not worse, in the first century. Equally, if not worse. And you know what? Some of my brethren made it through it. So let's not excuse ourselves and say, oh, well, it's just too rough today. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's rough every day. Every day this world stands. And I'm not going into specific sexual sins. That's not the purpose here. Common sense. Common sense dictates. Why? Because I want to keep myself in the love of God. You don't want to keep yourself in the love of God? Then act like an animal of the field. Right? Feels good, do it. That's like an animal, is it not? Don't be like that. Because I want to be pleasing to God. I want to keep my thoughts clear. I want to have God's approval. Again, brethren, I like you. But I'm not concerned about your approval. Well, yeah, that's not being arrogant. I'm concerned about God's approval. And I'm showing you how we have God's approval. Keep those things that... Yes. Now let's go to a few more passages and the lesson will be yours. Okay, I use the word few. My few might be 2, 3, 4, or 5 passages, so don't question me at the end if I used more than 2. And 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. While you're turning that, I'll tell you a true story from years back. So we had a good sister, and she was a good sister in one of the congregations I worked with. And she always let me know when I went beyond, because I have a tendency to say, well, one more passage, and I gave 3 more passages. And she felt compelled to inform me every time the lesson was over, you did it again. Well, I got tired of hearing I did it again. So here's what I finally said to her. I said, well, thank you. You paid attention to that. But did you pay attention to the lesson? Guess what? After I told her that, she never said that to me again. So if I had a few more passages, brethren, live with it. Pay attention to the passage. Don't get so caught up in the style that you miss the passage. Make sense? Sure it does. All right, let's read the passage. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, didn't you see God the Father? Jesus, you see how they're tied together? And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, you can't stop at verse 2, because he's going to explain himself. Let's go to verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him. Here we go. If we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected. Oh, by the way, we want God loving us. How is the love of God perfected? By keeping his commandments. Isn't that what they're telling us here? All right. Is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says, I abide in him, ought to himself also to walk just as he walked. Kind of ties it together, doesn't it? Keeping yourself in the love of God, Jude 21. Simple. Obey the teachings of Christ. Another passage. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And how do we do that? By keeping the teachings of Jesus. And his commandments are not burdensome. You know, when you love somebody, you'll do what they desire. God loved us and gave his son. We in turn love him and keep the teachings of his son. So, real simply, as we talk about this, to keep yourself in the love of God requires me to keep the teachings of the New Testament. Now, why do I want to do that? Well, do you want eternal life? Because that's the ultimate. We go back to verse 21. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it was through his blood we're sanctified unto eternal life. Now, those of you who are young, I know you're not thinking of eternal life. I can be honest with you, when I was 20, 21, 22, 23, that really wasn't in my scope of thought at that time. As we get a little older, that becomes our scope, doesn't it? As we look back and, you know, you had your 10-year graduation anniversary, your 15 years, your 30 years, your 40 years, your 50 years. Some of you are going to your 60th year. Uh-oh, what's happening? It's winding down, isn't it? That's all right, because we got eternal life in Jesus. That's why I want to keep myself in the love of God, because the love of God gives me eternal life, but I get that love and I keep in love as I follow Jesus. So we close with one more passage. Last passage this morning. Go to Hebrews 5, verse 9. Appreciate you're here this morning. Go home and study this out. And Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, kind of simple. And having been perfected, of course, we know this is speaking of Christ. He became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. And what have we been showing about? How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? By obeying Jesus. So I guess the question is, there's no doubt God loves you and me and everybody in the world. But the question is, are you and I keeping ourselves in the love of God? And we can know the answer if we're abiding by this book. But if you're not, you're just deceiving yourself. It starts by putting him on at baptism, Acts chapter 2, and it continues as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's how I keep myself in the love of God. And I'll say this, if it doesn't bother you whether you're in the love of God or not, biblically speaking, if it doesn't bother you, biblically speaking, you're a fool. You're a fool. Because you're only looking at the temporary instead of the eternal. Keeping yourself in the love of God as we stand and as we sing.